look, this is a passage from the last chapter in St. John's Gospel. And if we look at what was happening before this passage in Scripture, we find that the time is after our Lord's resurrection, but before his ascension into heaven. At the particular point in time, the apostles are not with our Lord. And St. Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And he asks if any of the other apostles want to go fishing with him. And some do, including St. John. Our Lord and the apostles go fishing for the night, and as it's happened before, they do not catch any fish. But in the morning time, as they're coming to shore, our Lord is standing there. They do not recognize our Lord at first, but our Lord asks them, "Have you any fish or any meat?" And Peter says, "No, we don't have any fish. We didn't catch anything." And our Lord tells them to drop their nets on the right side of the boat. And the apostles listen, and they bring forth a net full of fish, so much so that it's surprising that the net did not break. So 153 fish. And it was at that moment that St. John recognized our Lord and recognized him as Jesus. Peter instantly jumps out of the boat and rushes to shore, while the other apostles bring the boat and the fish to land. When St. John and the others get to shore, they find our Lord sitting there with the fire made already. And around the fire, there's already bread and some fish. And it's at this occasion that our Lord asks St. Peter the three questions. And it's the same question: "Simon, dost thou lovest me?" Our Lord asks Peter this question three times in response, or in contrast to the three times in which Peter denied our Lord. And we know the response of Peter. Peter had said, "The Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he repeats it three times. And after this occasion is when we get into what we read today here in the Gospel. And that, for today, corresponds to the feast of St. John the Evangelist. We celebrate St. John's feast day here today. And when it comes to the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that there is an animal or a creature that represents each of the four evangelists. These evangelists wrote what we know as the Gospels, and the creature or the animal that represents St. John is the eagle. When we think of the eagle, or the bald eagle, we can consider that first and foremost for our country, it is our national bird. In 1782, many years ago, it was chosen to be that bird which represents our country. And they gave a variety of different reasons for why they chose the bald eagle to represent our country. They mentioned first that it has a long life. Also because the eagle represents great strength. It has a majestic look, but most importantly, it represents freedom. When it comes to St. John the Evangelist, the eagle is used to depict him because in the writings of St. John, he focuses on the divinity of our Lord and soaring above the things of this world. Consider at the end of Mass, after the priest gives you the blessing, he goes to the left side of the altar. At the left side of the altar, he reads the beginning of St. John's Gospel. He prays this at every Mass. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Also, in St. John's Gospel, we have his writings which talk about our Lord's divinity when it comes to the Holy Eucharist. In chapter 6, he says, our Lord says, "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." In St. John's Gospel, we find many helps and aids in working with Protestants or those who are not Catholic. There are many people out there today who read the Bible, but do not follow what it teaches. And when we look into St. John's Gospel, what we find is there are many clear proofs about what our Lord was teaching when it came to his true presence in the Blessed Eucharist. But talking a little bit about the life of St. John, He was the brother of James, and he was the youngest of the apostles. He outlived all of them as well. But we know that from the account of the Gospels, that St. John was able to be present at many of the events of our Lord's life. Consider how St. John was present at the transfiguration of our Lord at Mount Tabor. We know our Lord appeared with his garments white as snow, talking with Elias and Moses. St. John was there. St. John was also the one who rested his head on the breast of our Lord at the Last Supper. We know that St. John was one of the three who was taken into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he stood at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother when our Lord was crucified. Also, we know that after our Lord died for us, he took the Blessed Virgin Mary into his home to care for her. It says in Scripture that St. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Why was he given this title? Scripture scholars and fathers of the church have said that one of the reasons why St. John was given this title of the disciple whom Jesus loved is because of his great purity and holiness during his life. And when we consider the sin of impurity, we should bring to our mind how hideous and how evil it is before the eyes of Almighty God. If we read the description of the fathers of the church, they give a very vivid idea of how evil the sin of impurity or the sins of flesh are before the face of Almighty God. Some of the saints have compared those sins as to the stench of rotting corpses. Also, St. Alphonsus Liguori talks many times about how one who struggles or one who is given over to the vice of impurity, he describes them as one who returns to the vomit of dogs. And after the vomit is brought forth once again, they go and consume the vomit again and again. The words from the fathers of the church help to give us a better idea of the great evils of the sins of the flesh. But also, we have our Lord's example as we see him being scourged at the pillar. Our Lord was scourged at the pillar in atonement for the sins of the flesh. Our Lord gave all of his flesh. All of it was ripped off by the scourging. And we should think about that the next time the devil tries to tempt us into thinking that the sins of impurity are no big deal, or they're not that significant. Let us consider the words of the fathers of the church and the example of our Lord. But in our day, we understand that the days are very evil, and that sin and temptation are all around us. We know that if you go on the internet, turn on the TV, even when you go to a store or drive down the road, immodesty is everywhere. But let us practice custody of the eyes, and let us set a good example in our own life by dressing modestly. How very important that is. And when it comes to overcoming the sins of impurity and remaining pure and holy, let us consider the example of St. John. He stayed close to our Blessed Mother, and by doing so, he was the only apostle who stood by our Lord at the foot of the cross. So too for us, if we stay near to our Blessed Mother, and we pray to her every day and ask her for her help, she will be there to help us in the times of temptation. But my dear friends in Christ, we must fear the occasions of sin, especially the occasions that lead to the sins of the flesh, the sins of impurity. We must pray humbly in a time of temptation, acknowledging that we need God's help and the protection of our Blessed Mother. And we must have a holy mistrust of self. We have to have a holy mistrust of self, where oftentimes we think we are stronger than what we actually are. And that leads us into temptations and lamentable faults. But when it comes to St. John, we know that it's because of his purity and holiness that he was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And may that be the same for each and every one of us. May we be known as the one whom Jesus loves. But when it comes to St. John, we know that he's represented, as I said, by an eagle. And in the start, I mentioned why our country chose the eagle as a national bird. It was because of its long life, its great strength, its majestic look, and how it represented freedom. But so too in our lives, the soul who perseveres against sin, the soul who overcomes temptation, they shall attain life everlasting. They will have true strength of soul. Our strength is in our weakness. We are very weak, and we need the grace of Almighty God to persevere. We need the protection of our Blessed Mother. And consider the majestic look of that soul in the state of sanctifying grace. Just as the fathers have given us description of a soul in mortal sin, so too they have given us descriptions of souls in the state of sanctifying grace. And what beauty, what glory shines forth if we could see a soul who has God dwelling within it now. And finally, freedom. Freedom from sin. That gives us peace of soul. In this life, we will be tempted, but we should not lose our peace of soul over temptations. It is only sin that offends Almighty God. But when it comes to temptations, let us turn to our Blessed Mother and beg humbly for help. In St. John's life, towards the end, they tried to put him to death. They tried to boil him in pitch or oil. When St. John was put into the oil, afterwards he came forth more refreshed and anew than when he was put in. Of course, this was to the amazement of those who were trying to kill him. But so too for us, with the help of our Blessed Mother and the grace of Almighty God, when we pass through temptations and we persevere against them, how glorious and how beautiful will our souls come forth. We know that the eagle can soar to great heights, and so too does God desire for us to attain a great height of sanctity. But in order for us to get off of the ground, we must persevere against the temptations of the devil. And especially during this Christmas time, go to the stable. Ask our Divine Lord for help and the graces that you need. He tells each and every one of us, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.